Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Art Matthews is a singer that I saw at Parklife Festival and the Johnny Clegg tribute concert in 2022. I loved his music. I've always loved Just Ginger's music and his voice. I thought, cool, another artist I'd love to interview for my podcast. So after one of the concerts, I approached him and asked him if he'd be agreeable to be interviewed for the podcast, and he said, cool. So we swapped numbers and we organized the interview. Over the course of the last decade and a half, well-known singer and songwriter Art has been honing his craft and moving people the world over. As the frontman of South African band Just Ginger, his indelible lyrics and melody arrangements led the way to the incredible success of their debut album, All Comes Around, becoming one of the biggest selling rock genre albums of all time in their native country, South Africa, achieving double platinum status in its first year, with the follow-up album Something For Now reaching the same status a year later. Just Ginger have shared the stage with many iconic local and international artists on many stages across the world, most notably at the Nelson Mandela 46664 concert, Johannesburg in 2009, where they performed with the likes of the Goo Goo Dolls, Annie Lennox, Razorlight, Ludacris, Corinne Bailey Rae, Peter Gabriel, Live, and Angelique Kidjo. They have also performed support duties and shared the bill with many international stars such as U2, Counting Crows, Def Leppard, INXS, Maroon 5, OneRepublic, Hootie and the Blowfish, The Strokes, and many more. On their own, Just Ginger have performed many sold-out arena shows across South Africa. Please note that I recorded this interview with Art in December 2022, just before he was about to embark on his Cape to Rio race. I pushed out the release of the interview to when he returned from his journey. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Art Matthews. Where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
I'm glad we finally managed to figure this out. I'm in Cape Town, and it's just, it is, I mean, everyone says silly season, but it truly is. And it's the worst time to be doing the last minute prep for what I'm about to attempt to do. Cape Town Hot Bay, and just going completely crazy with all the Cape to Rio prep that I'm busy working with. We leave the 2nd of January, so we have very little time left, and I am probably panicking a little bit at the moment.
What are you doing from the 2nd of January?
I entered the Cape to Rio sailing race.
Okay.
So I entered that in July already, and I've been working extensively to prepare for it. One of the big things being, apart from the work on the boat and trying to get sponsorship and all these things, is also upgrading my skipper's ticket to Offshore Yachtmaster. And yeah, we leave on the 2nd of January. Seven of us, a motley crew, nonstop straight to Rio. And it's I've never done a crossing before, so it's I've bitten off quite a bit, but I'm not one to do. I do deep end stuff by the looks of things.
And how long will that take about?
We're hoping for 20 days, but it could be 25. And the cutoff is we have till the 2nd of February. So we have a month to do it.
And then do you sail back afterwards?
Yeah, it wasn't actually originally the plan, but you know, I've got the best berth at the V&A at the waterfront right outside the Victoria Alfred Hotel. And I still have that lease for another 2 years. So I was just, I think the new thinking is to get back home, you know, take stock of that epic trip. But the trip home is 1,000 times more difficult than going to Rio, because you have to come back through the Southern Ocean. And it is challenging, to say the very least. And as of right now, I'm not even terribly sure that I'll be on that. I'll have to see how I fare going to Rio. Otherwise, I might get crew to get that back, and I'll whiss out and just hop on a plane.
So let's put it out there that it'll all be fine. Smooth sailing, literally and figuratively.
Exactly. Let's see. Hopefully, yeah. But I've done a lot of prep, and so safety-wise, we should be okay. But you just... yeah, you never know. It's the ocean. The ocean doesn't play, and it doesn't want you there. So we're going into it with that in mind, and we have tremendous respect and a healthy amount of fear.
Art, let's take it back to the beginning of your music career. So tell us, when were you invigorated or inspired, or what was that first element? Was like, cool, I want to get into the music industry.
I was really studying to be a lawyer, and I had all the marks all the way through school. And then in standard 9 or 10, I joined a death metal band as a drummer. That's when marijuana was first introduced into the scene. I was a very late bloomer, even though I was from the Bluff, and our slogan is rough and tough, and we smoke the stuff. I never touched it before then, so I dabbled for the first time at the end of high school. And I wouldn't say that was directly related to the marks dropping, although everyone would beg to differ or question. But I think it was just my obsession with playing in this band, you know, and everything else became a little bit less important. So I went from, and I people don't believe this, I had dreadlocks my whole life, but unfortunately I'm literally highly allergic to THC, so I can't smoke even if I wanted to. So it was just the typical high school kind of dabbling that I did, that I think everyone has done at some stage. And I went straight from a trick and decided to go and study drums, much to my mother's delight. But I still didn't know that I was going to be a singer. I wanted to be a drummer, and I was a drummer, and I got a degree, and I studied it quite intensely. And then it was only in that year that I realized that I had that I could sing. Weirdly, I started playing only later that year, and started learning a couple of cover songs, and was told that they sound as good as the original. And yeah, that was a launch pad.
Previously to that, did you not realize, or had you not sung publicly?
I won a talent show competition when I was like 11 or 12. And then this promoter and booker used to book me to, because I used to impersonate Elvis and Louis Armstrong and Nat King Cole pretty accurately, even at that age. And so I got a couple of weird gigs, like doing cabaret things, opening acts for like just odd things in Durban. It was literally like maybe 5 or 6 of those. And then I never thought about singing again until the year after high school.
Let's go into the formation of Just Ginger. How did that happen, and why the name, and what does the name mean?
We were all playing at the Randburg Waterfront. At that time, it was quite a big scene, and I was in a duo called Cat Chambers, and Brent was in a band. Brent, Vernie, and Tux were in a band called Trifunk Era, and they were just cooking the cover scene completely. So they would watch me in their breaks, and I would watch them in their breaks. And one day, Brent just called me and said, "Hey, man, you're going to be the singer of our band," because I'd just written Shallow Waters then, and I was playing it live. And he said, "Yeah, you're going to be the singer." And I was like, "Okay, cool. You guys rock. Of course, I want to be the singer." And then, of course, we couldn't be Trifunk Era because it was 4 of us. So we dropped the Tri for a while. We were Funky Era for a little while, and then we decided to asked the public to throw some names in a hat at a couple of shows that we did at Roxy Rhythm Bar. I don't know where and how it came about, but it wasn't the greatest market research in the world, and we're just very, very lucky that it stuck, because the spelling was very confusing. When we went to America, J-I-N-G-E-R, the Americans were, "Welcome, Just Ginger," and we were like, "Oh man, that's no." And then we made the biggest mistake in the world, which was how to lose all our fans, and we changed the spelling so that we could alienate everyone who searched for us ever going forward on SEOs. And the name just happened. I can't even, there's no real significance. None of us are gingers, no particular affinity to the root. And I don't know.
Your creative process in writing music and writing a song, what is that process from zero, nothing, to a 3 to 4 minute song? Do you find it easy? Is it the same every time? Tell us the musical journey of the song of Just Ginger.
Well, it has to start with intent. You have to at least sit down and try and do something. But I'm maybe wrongly so. I don't labor over it. I probably should make it a daily chore, but I don't. I really only write when I'm inspired, which doesn't happen all the time. It takes years. During COVID, I couldn't think of a single thing that I wanted to sing about. I think I wrote that little collab with some of the viewers on Facebook and things like that. But I really wasn't inspired. So it's far and few between for me to actually sit down and do it, because it's got to mean something to me, especially in my latter years. I think when you're young and first learn how to play guitar, you write down everything and you think it's a hit. And so just now being a little bit more analytical, I guess, it takes me a little while longer to just get something out, which is, I don't know, neither good nor bad. It's just where I'm at the moment.
And then do you write with the band, or is it yourself writing music and songs solely?
Yeah, I wrote the majority of the songs. It's that first album, Brent had written quite a few, and then he collabed with me on a couple. But kind of from then onwards, we just went through my catalog. So, and, you know, I've been doing solo stuff since 2011, 2012. And a lot of the times it starts with just words that I have, or I could have a melody that sits around forever. And then one day I just go, okay, this thing has to come out now. Yeah, as I say, I try not to force it. I used to claim that I don't get writer's block because I don't try and write and then get blocked. But that's it. If I don't write for a while, that's actually technically writer's block as well. But it's not block, it's just laziness.
Now, it's the 25th anniversary of Shallow Waters. and you brought a whole bunch of your friends onto that track
Yeah.
to re-release it. How did you decide who to include?
I was just going to get one or two people maximum. So my initial go-to people, because Arno stays down the road and Ross, whenever he's in town, we're dear friends. I'm dear friends with everyone, but I was just like, oh, but this thing's growing into a monster. And it was one of those days that I had some nice clarity and I could see them coming in the different places and you know, at the different timings and things like that. And then I just cold called them. I was like, hey, Corin, are you around? You want to come sing on Shallow Waters? And the response was beautiful. It was overwhelmingly yes and positive. And they all came and sat in this very studio that I'm in right now, in front of me on my grandfather's red chair, of which I have photographs of all of it, of all of them singing on that same mic. And they just came in one by one. But the whole thing took like a year, you know? And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it took a long time. Like, as I say, I don't know what the gray line is between laziness and also just letting things unfold as they should. You know, that's it. We've got tremendously busy lives, all of us. And it's hard to sometimes put all this to bed. And I'm glad that it took the time because every character came in at the right time. If I had wrapped it earlier on, I would have only had a few artists on. And then eventually I was like, we cannot get another artist on this song. Like, there's not enough space and time in the music.
Performing live, tell us the experience about that, what you enjoy, why you keep coming, why the stage keeps calling you back.
Well, money, for one. You know, we get paid pretty well. And the boys, we still have fun. You know, just 27 years now, I believe, in existence. And we always said, as long as we're having fun, we'll do it. And we've never had a contract between us. We've never had anything. It's just been a verbal, like, are we having fun? Should we do it? And what's happening because of that, and because everyone's created their own lives, you know, outside of Just Ginger, when we do get together, the intensity is gone, the pressure's off, and we just seem to slide into a whole new groove, and we just jam the shit out of it when we do now, and it feels like it's getting better on some levels. I think just the relaxedness, and there's also a bit of a fuck you attitude as well now. It's like, you know, we are what we are, we're doing what we do. There's no more like politeness on stage.
Yeah,
we're not rude. It's just a self-confidence thing, you know, and it's just, so we actually got a bit more swagger these days, which is quite cool.
So besides performing live, is it mainly yourself now with releasing music? Is it releasing solo stuff or is it still going to be moving forward the band?
Ginger hasn't made many plans to record. I don't know why. Also, we are geographically separated. They're all in Johannesburg and I'm here. So it's hard, you know, I either have to fly up or they have to come down. It's not like living in the same town. You go, hey, let's jam. So it now becomes, especially with family lives and producing lives and all the lives we have, now you're like, you know, you have to make a concerted effort. So the answer to that is that the window is not closed. We will, but it will take effort from all of our sides to get it done. And I hope so. And I'm open to it when and how, and, you know, if our health stays, and, you know, we're at the age where every decade becomes a gift, you know,
and without laziness.
Try and get rid of the laziness. Although I can't be pointed out for laziness in this last year and what I've achieved with, you know, with what I've done while I've been trying to get a damn boat across the Atlantic. It's just an application. I think maybe once this itch is scratched, I think I'll come back with a renewed vigor. I'm getting pretty tired of social media, and, you know, it's so hard because you do something cool and you have to self-promote as an artist. You are, you know, that's your biggest thing. And like, then there's TikTok and then I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
I feel like I really don't, you know. And you never got to, and then you get a PR company, but then there's so much you got to do for all of them, and that's not laziness. It's also just like how much of my life do I want to actually live consciously, or, you know, am I just continuously self promoting? And I see people using their platforms to self promote, which I do and which we should. But also, just want to go every now and then, I just want to take a picture of a squirrel, you know, and let people know this is also who I've got in my garden that morning. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not all about bloody self-promotion, because life is very short. It's all going to end sooner than we know. And we got it, you know, so I'm in the appreciation phase, you know, I'm in the cherish the moment.
Yeah.
You know, seize the moment phase, which is why I'm doing such an audacious project, you know, because I don't know when I'm going to be able to have the health that I'm in and be as fit as I am. Which is not super fit, but I'm just healthy, you know, I'm good. I don't know when I'm going to do it. And I could have more money in the bank and I could be more calculated, but I might have a gammy leg or something. You know what I mean? I'm focusing on that now. But I am taking all my gear on the boat, and hopefully it doesn't get wet in the first 2 days and all fry up. So anything that survives the first couple of days of that trip, which is pretty gnarly, I'll have it in flight cases and things like that. So it should be okay. But the idea is to record along the way. There will be time and there'll be no signal and no one will be buzzing me and beeping and which I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to, is just switching off entirely. And then, you know, I'll have a body of work, because what I do Well, in between my laziness, when I am left to my own devices and I'm not distracted by social media, and I actually end up writing. That's what I do. I am a writer, and it's a little gift that I've only recently really come to appreciate and acknowledge. And so when I, when I get given some space and time, that's what I tend to naturally gravitate to. So I'm hoping that I will have a nice, hopefully just a good couple of songs that were inspired, and you can hear the ocean in the background. I think that'll be pretty rad.
This itch you're talking about of scratching this Cape to Rio epic, what was it about that you wanted to do? Why that specifically, and not, say, for example, the Comrades, or could just go bungee jumping, or what was it about the Cape to Rio that was calling you?
Well, I bought a boat 2 months before the pandemic, which is, bad idea to ever buy a boat ever in the first place. And then it's an even worse idea to buy it just before a global shutdown. So I've spent 3 years working on this thing. And I just, in the middle of this year, I was like, well, how, like, am I ever going to, are we ever going to leave and do something? Or are we just going to sit around Cape Town and charter and work and charter and build and fix and fix and build and fix? And so this was a kick, just a kickstart for me, especially to have a target, which I haven't had for a long time. Being a free agent and my own boss, it's like, I do call the shots, but they've become quite repetitive, like you'd work the whole year, then there's corporate season, then there's New Year's, and then there's these and these tours, which I'm grateful for on it, so forgive how I may sound about all that. I'm incredibly grateful. I live the most charmed life that you will ever meet, but I just want a bit of a change. That's all. I just want to change. I want to go and see the world before it collapses. Not that I'm a fatalist in that regard, but I just feel that I need to do it. And also, I've entered it. I have to fucking do this thing now. I can't not. I haven't booked any gigs for January, February, so I may as well go sailing.
And when you finish, are you going to sell the boat or keep the boat?
I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm just going to see how I feel once I get to Rio, spend a couple of weeks on the islands, take a couple of deep breaths, and probably get her back here on that Southern Ocean and take it from there. I think if we come back with that little accolade, I think it will also change the dynamic of that boat as well. We had some cool sponsors last minute, but a lot of corporates are, and understandably, it's like they need to see results before, not a lot of people invest in ideas alone. So when we come back victorious, it'll put the boat into a different kind of playing field for me, and it can maybe make it a little bit more secondary than it is at the moment, because at the moment it is all encompassing.
You mentioned social media and the disconnection around that. And we spoke a little bit earlier about performing live. Now, I love standing right up in front and I'm there doing my thing. I do a little bit of posting now for Celeb Savant, as we know. But I find that a lot of people around me, especially near the front, have their phones up the whole time trying to get the perfect video, the perfect shot, the perfect whatever they're trying to get. For you, as the receiving end of seeing a whole bunch of phones in front of your face compared to just the people being in the moment, does that frustrate you, or have you just accepted it as it is now?
I'd pay little attention to that. It's just human nature. We all do it. People don't realize that you can't live in the present if you've got a phone stuck to the end of your hand, because how many people go home and watch what they recorded? So just watch what you're seeing in the moment. So that doesn't bug me in the slightest, because I am also just a big believer of human nature. And you just sit back and go, shit, this is the shit that we're in at the moment. we're all guilty. We all do it. We've all done it. So there's no judgment. And, however people choose to receive an experience is up to this to unpack maybe later on in life when they go, shit, I was there, but I don't remember seeing the guys because I saw them through the camera.
I saw through a phone screen when he was so close to me.
You should have just logged into a live stream. It would have been the same thing.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. I love playing this game, but the recipients generally do not. Now, if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 20 days, whenever next, I know your answers would be different each time. But in this specific moment, your top five go-to songs by other artists.
Oh, jeez. And I don't know. It's so weird. My house is eerily quiet. Like I don't listen to music much.
Okay.
Denham Harding, my bass guitarist, is my sole source of new cool music. I have so much shit going through my head that I just don't choose to get on and make a noise around my life.
Okay. So if there were top five artists that inspired you.
Okay. Definitely Rodriguez. People would know that. Cat Stevens, Stevie Wonder, Led Zeppelin. Jeez, man. Yeah. Just like a bunch of the, I'm definitely a Hendrix fan, and watching that growing up, you're like, what the freak is going on over there? And there's just so many cool modern bands. That's also just the state that we're in. There are so many that none of them are that iconic. There are so many that are worth mentioning and are great, but none that I swear by. I love Louis Armstrong, Nat King Cole, Elvis. I love all the crooners.
Yes.
Frank Sinatra. I dig the big band stuff. I So I wouldn't say there's any like five in particular of modern. Yeah. So those basics that I shared with you would kind of be the bread and butter for me.
Well, that's, I mean, more than five, so that's perfectly awesome.
Yeah. Sorry. Actually,
No, that's okay.
I'm
That's
an overachiever.
Art, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Final message to the listeners from my side is just thanks for the years of support. It's been amazing. As I say, I've lived such a charmed life. It's enchanted, to say the least. And so I'm eternally grateful. That's all I've done since I've left school. And so I am the luckiest guy that you'll have. So what I will tell everyone is South Africa is beautiful. Be grateful for where you're at. Appreciate every moment that you have. Appreciate time with your family. My mom's turning 80 in February and she's sprightly and running around the place. I'm gonna take her on the biggest holiday after I get to Rio. And these little things, just cherish it. Learn to forgive quickly, say sorry quickly, and be as kind as you can. And carry on supporting live music.
Art, thank you for your time. So this is Lips Event, signing out.